Jiggity-boo.
Good evening, one and all. A Wednesday and the end of August already. I tell you, September kids are back at school here where I am. Most of them seem to be in Connecticut. Anyway, might be next week. Most of them go back in England because they don't break up till the end of July. We only have about 6 weeks, unlike America, which seems to have about 6 months. But we do catch up on Easter and Christmas and stuff like that. Have a few extra days then. Stuff like that, but I am here, and so is my guest. Now, funnily enough, just listening to the introduction song there, which is, by the way, it's called Tickety Boo, and it was sung by great English folk singer called Ralph McTell, mainly famous for his Streets of London. But I've been watching him since, oh my goodness, since I've been 18. I've been following him, I reckon, which is half a century ago. God, anyway, so. Yeah, and it's about Tickety Boo. And it was because Billy Connolly, the Big Yin, Billy Connolly, he brought out a tea which was like raised money for charity. And what it was that every time they sold a pack of this tea, the money went to charity. So as the line says, only cup of tea that makes you feel good twice, once when you're drinking it and once when you're knowing the money that you spent for it was gone to the charity. Anyway, that's enough of that, because I was talking to my guest and we've talked about cups of tea, because, well, I'll introduce her and then we'll know what else we can talk about with her. Because on the show today, I have the one and only S.K. Durbin, or as I'm going to call her, Shana. Hi, Shana, how are you doing?
I am doing well and I'm thrilled to be chatting with you. How are you this evening?
I am not too bad, and I have my tea. But we decided it was a bit risky to have a tea and be sitting there all the way through the show. So you're going to have your tea afterwards, because
I'm going to have my tea afterwards.
Because your mother, being English, and you were sort of, when you were very, very young, were actually sort of raised in England for 5 years.
Oh yes, and we had our tea, and then when we moved to the States, we continued to have tea at 4 p.m. every day.
Oh, really? See, we had it at 3, so because we had sit-down tea, a cup of tea at 3 in the morning, 11 is in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock for children's TV, where we could watch our tea, have our sit-down tea in the evening. But yes, always a cup of tea. I have pint mugs of tea over here now. As soon as I get up, the kettle goes on and have my pint mug. And it's PG tips, of course, the main British tea.
Now, of course.
Stuff, you know, that's the number one tea, the general tea, shall I say, that everybody has. Anyway, reading about you, I mean, I normally say, well, this is, she did this and she did that and she did. You were very into the arts and into theatre. So, as I said, your mother was part of the London Ballet Company, or to do the bun, and then you've picked up on the British murders, which led to your love of writing, I guess.
Oh my gosh, I thrive on British murders still. I love them. And I think if anybody ever looked at my internet search, I might be arrested, because I'm always trying to figure out how to murder someone and get away with it.
You are not much difference to this house, I can tell you, because my wife is always watching, you know, the BBC stuff and the British, you know, the UK, everything, and the Midsummer Murders and this, that and the other. And to be quite honest, just before I sat down to do the show, I was watching a murder thing, detective thing called Whitechapel, which is based, well, the first series were based on a replica of the Jack the Ripper, and then it went on to somebody else and that, but it's all set in Whitechapel in the East End of London. Oh, no, it was the Resurrection of the Cray Twins. That was the second one. And now this third one's a bit of a weird one. I haven't quite out, but again, it's sort of pointing back to a modern version of these old murders. So we always watch the stuff here, so I do understand.
Now, Midsummer is one of my favourites. I love Midsummer.
My wife is... I think this is like a third time through the whole lot of series. I mean, she loves it all. And I sort of say to her, have you seen this one? Oh, yeah, I've watched that one. Have you seen that? Yeah, I've watched that.
But there's almost always three murders, so you forget who got killed.
You do. You never thought, you sort of, oh, this is a murder, and somebody else gets murdered that you thought was the one that murdered the person in the first place. I can totally totally confused half the time.
too many murders in one episode.
Oh, that's right.
And they keep changing Barnaby. Yes. I get confused which episode I'm on because there's a new Barnaby.
A different Barnaby. At least the dog. Well, the dog has been replaced, wasn't it? The dog was replaced, I think. I think
he was recently replaced.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Well, it's like Father. Can't think.
Father Brown.
Yes, Father Brown. I was well into one Father Brown, and then there was another Father Brown.
Yes, and you know who does that also is Death in Paradise.
Right.
They keep changing. Yeah, they keep changing who the lead detective is.
I haven't got into that one. I have watched several others. And do you know what the really annoying... not talking about your books, but the really annoying thing
is... Oh, that's all right.
I was into one series on... Monday, Tuesday, something like that. I went through the whole of the series. Really interesting. Really found it good. It was well written and I was confused and there was all these bits left open, you know, and was this one did this and this one been found out about that. And I can't find a second series anywhere.
Oh.
I hate that.
And I'm still missing the last episode of Unforgotten.
Oh, really?
I can't find it anywhere. So I'm leaving number 5 on my DVR. Because now I don't even remember what happened. And if I ever find the final episode, then I'm going to go back and watch the one before.
There you go. Now you.
I could tell we would get along well.
There you go. When did you first start? Your first book came out, 2015?
Approximately 2015. So I started writing probably, 10, 12 years ago. And I know that there's nothing wrong with self-publishing, but I just felt that if it was God's will, I would find a publisher. Mm-hmm. So I did the entire submission process. Believe it or not, I sent 500 submissions.
Right.
And at that point, I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be a writer. So, and I had 2 manuscripts finished by this time. And the 501 was the exception.
Wow.
And I was ecstatic. I think I danced around the house. My publisher is tremendous. I'm with Touchpoint Press. I love her. I have an amazing editor. And she is going to be the one that is going to publish my new series. I signed a contract with her. Cool. And so then my series begins. I have 3 manuscripts completed. So what she's going to do is she's going to publish the first one in 2023, then the second one in 2024, and then the final one in 2025. Hopefully by then I'll have a whole new series completed and ready to go.
There you go. Because the first book you did was, I can't remember what it was. Hang on.
Let's see, For No Apparent Reason.
That's
was
the one.
Very first one.
Oh, was that the first one? Okay.
That was the very first one, For No Apparent Reason.
Okay.
That's a fun book.
What Uneven Exchange came out before that, though, did it?
No, Uneven Exchange actually came out second.
Oh, okay.
But you are correct. How well you know me. Because I finished Uneven Exchange before I published For No Apparent Reason.
Ah, that's the confusion, right.
That's what it was, right. Yes. But so For No Apparent Reason was actually first to be published, even though the other one was sitting there waiting.
Now, are these romance or are these suspense or what?
Well, of course, there's always a murder, so I just can't get. I feel like I should be walking around the house with a dagger or something.
Yes, in the bathroom with the dagger, right?
Oh my gosh! Oh, and I love the game Clue. That's one of my favorite games. Until we digress, I must tell you about the book. But let me just tell you about this new game I got. 221B Baker Street. Does that address
Sherlock
ring a bell
Holmes,
to you?
Right, Sherlock Holmes, yes.
Oh my gosh. So we were having game night with friends playing Clue, and my friend brought me over 221B Baker. I am hooked. It is the most fun game. And of course, you're solving murders.
Never heard of it, so that sounds good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Now,
but let me tell you, so go ahead.
One of the things, before you said, because I might be touching on this, there is some romance in some of this stuff. And there's a lot of female protagonists coming up these days in books and stuff like that. And normally it's a man tries to do right with the female, or the female writes a female. You enjoy writing the male role.
I love writing the male role, and perhaps it's because I've been married for so long. Now, all of my books, the protagonist is a female, but because I've been married for so long, I feel like I can almost think like a man. So I walk around the house role playing what the female character says.
It is dangerous in your house. You're right.
Yes, and then what the male character says back as I'm holding my butcher knife.
Husband walks in the door. Oh my God, I'm either in trouble or she's writing again.
That's, oh my gosh, he has said that before. Oh yes, exactly.
So, you know, you got these three books out, but now you're doing these are sort of single books, but now, as you said, coming out next year, we've got this series. With the same character. And what's this? Is this like a whodunit type thing?
Yes. So what happened is when I wrote For No Apparent Reason, several of my readers said, will you write a sequel? Mm. Well, I didn't. And then I wrote and published Uneven Exchange. And then lots of readers, oh, we need a sequel. Well, then my book that was just published a couple of years ago is named Circumvent. And I thought, you know, I need to write a series. Everybody keeps asking me for the character to repeat. But no one of those three books I felt like I could turn into a series because I had finished most of the storyline. So the new book, or the new series, is a three-book cozy mystery series. And the name of that is Macaroni on Wheels. And it's set in... Isn't that cute? And I have... If people want to go on Instagram, I posted the logo of the caterer, the Italian caterer. It's so cute. But it's set in my hometown of San Diego, and it's in the delightful community of Little Italy. And, of course, it's about a caterer, her animated and loud Italian family. And, of course, there's a murder.
Of course.
How could we be without murder?
It's not, people haven't sort of been hung by lengths of spaghetti or anything like that, have they?
Oh my gosh, yes. You know what, Barry? That's an idea.
Oh, no.
I'm making a note. That's a wonderful idea. But alas, I haven't even told you about my other books.
No, keep going. Tell me about them.
Okay, so For No Apparent Reason, that was the first one, and that's about a North Carolina law student. Mm-hmm. I was going to say inquisitive, but very nosy. And she stumbles upon a crime scene, tries to insert herself into the investigation, and the agent in charge of this case is in great dismay. That's not only a fun murder book, but it's got such a wonderful romance. So makes people's heart pound with joy. Mm-hmm. You would read that and then go smile at your wife.
There you go.
And then Uneven Exchange. That book, I don't know why that one of all of them, but that one did so well, and it's still doing well. It's going strong. I don't know if you've heard of BookBub, but I was accepted as a deal of the day on BookBub.
Oh, nice.
And Uneven Exchange actually made it to number 2 on Amazon.
Very good. I didn't
hit that number 1, so I'm just going to have to strive harder for the next time, but it made it for number 2. And in Uneven Exchange, the woman goes to work undercover for the DEA and she gets trapped in Mexico. And my readers constantly say when they were following her journey trying to get out, that their hearts were just pounding. And of course, there's a murder and there's a romance. So both.
Okay. I know you've been to a lot of places. So I know that in your books, one of the important things is to take the people to these places, like transport them around the globe while they're sitting reading the book. And it sounds like with that one, you know, people being in Mexico, they're not Bible smuggling, though, are they, in it?
No. I did do some Bible smuggling in China, but what happened was as I travel and as I write, I feel like I want to give people a chance to go on holiday without having to pack.
Right. I can
I want to
fully
give them
understand
that
that.
fun journey. Yes, because packing is not fun.
Right. I mean, and I know that, you know, your faith means a lot to you. Do you bring that into the book, your books?
I do in the respect that when my protagonist or, you know, when my characters are in danger, they pray, they seek God's wisdom to help them get out of whatever they're in. And because of my faith, I do write clean read. So now, not without a lot of innuendo. So I feel like sometimes you can watch something and see too much.
Right.
Other times you can watch or read something and it turns out to be titillating rather than giving you too
Leave
much.
it in your
And that's
mind.
what I
Yes.
like to do exactly. And our minds are so amazing. We have incredible imaginations. And so I find when I read something and they haven't given me too much, my mind is able to make it better than perhaps the writer even imagined.
Definitely. I always say that, you know, if I have somebody who's written a book, say on abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, or an illness, or losing a loved one and stuff like that, if they make it into a fiction novel, use their lives, use their experience, and make it into a fiction novel, then people reading that put themselves, who might be in the same position, they put themselves into the character in that book rather than a non-fiction six ways to get a better life out of this, that, and the other. I think people will take it in more by putting themselves, you know, literally into that person who the book's about.
That is a tremendous idea. Yes, you know, I have not seen that done. Have you seen that done anywhere?
Oh yeah, we've had several people who've written a book about abuse, and it's, you know, in a fictional thing, being in a religious environment, or you know, or a, you know, like a, you know, a cult sort of environment, or somebody
Right.
who was, you know, knocked, or their mother was knocked around a bit and stuff like that, and they put it into a fictional novel that, you know, they don't. And you, when you talk to them, they say, well, it is vaguely based on my life experiences and stuff like that. But then I've had people who say, you know, I read that book and that was me. We had somebody, I can give you a prime
Yes.
example. We were talking a book about 4 or 5 years ago. We were talking with a lady written a book about bullying. And my daughter had suffered a bit of bullying at school. So, yeah, we were talking. In fact, it was a
Oh.
bullying month. We had a bullying month, but one lady had written this book, and we were talking about, you know, how people's lives are affected, but how you work to get through it, and you can get through it and come out better the other side, and everything. Anyway, after the show finished, both this author and myself received an email from this young girl, and she was saying that, you know, she was listening to the program, and she was actually thinking of killing herself. She was
Oh my
so upset
goodness.
with whatever, you know, what had been going on in her life, and she was really, at the time, you know, she thought, she was literally said she was thinking of, you know, ending her life, as she said. But she listened to the program and how, you know, this other person, like this author and myself, we were talking about that, and other people had sort of written to us about this, that, and the other about it. And she said, you know, I listened to you two go on, she said, and I realized I could get through it. I didn't have to. It wasn't worth giving in to these people. It wasn't worth ending what, you know, my life, because it would affect other people more. And I could even think that ending my life was actually be selfish in a way. Anyway, basically, we stopped her killing herself. That's my view of it. And what more can you
Well,
ask for
that
than
is
that?
amazing. That is the number one reason just to have your show. That is phenomenal. You must just be filled with such joy
Oh, because
knowing
when you
that.
hear something like that, or you get a comment from somebody saying, you know, there was one about abuse we had about 2 months ago, and the woman said, do you know, I've been in that sort of abusive situation, And I wasn't sure whether I could leave it on anything. And then I listened to you talking about this book that this lady had written, and I realized, hey, you know, I'm better. I don't have to be here. Doesn't matter what people say. There's a French singer called Charles Aznavour, who his biggest hit was She, which was also part, it was one of the soundtrack of Notting Hill, but it was a number one in England from, anyway.
I know that song. Right. I love that song. It's the end of Notting Hill.
Exactly. And one of the things, one of his other songs has a line in it, and I picked this up when I was in my sort of late teens, 20s and that. This line was, you have to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. And to me, that just says so much. You know?
I'm writing that down. The table.
You have to learn when to leave the table when love's no longer being served.
Oh, I love that. Too bad I can't use it in one of my books.
I'm going to say, we're going to write another series. Book four.
That might just be a new title. That especially goes with my macaroni and weevils.
Exactly.
Table, see? Oh, I've got to add something in there. I'm not sure what, but something's going to have to happen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this obviously, you know, part of this Italian family, you know, this very unhappy marriage, this woman, and she was scared to, you know, leave it because she was worried what the other friends and family would think, and she killed him off with a loop of spaghetti.
Oh my goodness. Or a slip and fall.
Exactly.
On a pasta laden floor.
Yeah, or tied across the top of the stairs. Yeah.
With the marinara sauce.
Yeah. Oh dear.
And it's not really blood, it's just spaghetti.
It's just sauce. So you've got this series ready to come out next year, and hopefully you'll come back when the series comes out and we'll chat about that.
Oh, I would love to. But, it's so fun chatting with you.
You said you were going to do a three. Do you reckon you're going to make it into increase more on three? Do you reckon it's going to go on for a bit, this series?
No, because I actually, now that all three manuscripts are completed, last week I started a new series.
So you've got another series coming out.
I've got another series, but I'm only on page four.
Now, see, the thing that comes up a lot on the show, and we go on about this nearly every week, it seems, but is how, no matter how you plan your book, whatever you're writing, the characters lead you down different ways. You know, minor characters want major roles. Some don't even die when you try and kill them off, as we hear lots of times on the show. Could be that one of the characters in your first series could want their own book, and that could be the next one.
Now, that's a very good idea. And I will tell you that nobody knows this yet, but the second book, Uneven Exchange, that was the one that was my bestseller, I bring two of the characters that I left hanging, and they actually appear in the second book of my Macaroni on Wheels series. I wrapped it up for you.
There you go. See, it's people laugh when you say things like that, but it's true. These characters demand you do stuff.
They do. And as much as I try and be what's called a plotter,
right,
and plan my whole book, I am a panster. Yep. I cannot help it.
You can't.
I cannot plan the whole thing. I have to let everything come to life. And one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you go on a hike and you go around a corner and you say, oh my gosh, I've got to go this way.
Yeah.
Well, that's how my book
started. Why did I go this way? Oh, I should have gone that way. If I hadn't have gone that way, I wouldn't have seen this. Now, what made me do this? It's like that all the time. I mean, you know.
It is.
You get like that. Anyway, we've had a great chat. Really enjoyed it. And it's great to know that, you know, after all those rejections, it's working out really good for you. So I'm very pleased for you on that. But what I'm going to do now actually hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and, of course, your books.
Oh, of course. I'll be happy to. So My name obviously is F.K. Durbin. Well, not obviously, but that's what Barry said, and it is. And my website is childofthecarpenter.com. So that's just one word, childofthecarpenter.com. And what's fun is not only on my website will you find all my social media. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the social media. But I also have fun travel blogs, a fun why didn't I think of that blog, and a natural and healthy recipe blog. So I have three separate blogs for people to enjoy. And I am a writer, so my books are there with links to all the purchasing sites.
Well, did you, that, going to that, why didn't I think of that? I have three things that I want to see somebody invent before I
what?
Leave this
Tell
world.
Me.
First one is a label on a carton or a bottle of milk that changes color when the milk goes off, so you don't have to sniff it.
Good, good, good.
Second,
next.
The second is a folding arm, like people have those flags on the side of their cars, you know, not on the back, the sort of ones that click on the windows at Christmas and stuff like that. You know, I want something that when you press a button on your key fob, a big flag opens up and stands about 3 foot in the air, and the sign says, "Your car's here, you idiot," because I can never find my car in car parks.
Oh, okay. On the car, I'm thinking on the key fob.
No. On the car.
On the car.
Yeah, on the top of the, where the window goes in the car. You click it on there, and then you press your key fob, and a sign opens up with a flag.
I think you could make that.
Yep. And the last thing.
Okay, what's the third?
The last thing is now. This is I've been thinking of this for a long while. Right. You know how you get what you call sleeping policemen, you know, go over the bumps, you know, and they go down to cars or whatever like that.
Right.
If you had that on motorways with a generator hidden in the bank of the motorways, and like they have the wave things where if it goes backwards and forwards, it produces electricity. You could have the cars
right.
going over these bumps, making these things go backwards and forwards underneath the road, and all the electricity being charged into a generator to power the lights on the whole of these motorways and stuff like that and feed local towns. So driving would produce its own electricity locally.
Okay, that is amazing. I think you need to...
Right, we've got proof that I came up with the idea.
That is amazing. Now, here's the proof, because if somebody steals your idea, this show is recorded.
Exactly. We've got it. We've got it down there. But it has been really great chatting to you. Really enjoyed it. And
you as
I
well.
Say, next year when your series comes out, just let me know and I'll get you back and we'll discuss more about the series and not so
and
much
we'll
about
have another chat.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It's been great fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry.
Okay, bye-bye. There you go. My guest today, S.K. Durbin, D-E-R-B-A. A-N, not D-U-R, D-E-R-B-A-N. And we've been talking about her three books, An Even Exchange, For No Apparent Reason, and Circumvent, and the fact of a new series that's coming out next year and everything. And we talked about lots of other things as well. But we've had a good chat there, didn't we? Enjoy a good chat on this show. Well, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday with my two music shows. First off, from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, on New Visions Radio, we have Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme for the songs this week, Weights and Measures. Can you get it? 500 miles, you know, 16 ton, those sort of songs. Just think about it. That will be that show. And then, of course, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, straight after, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s from around the world, not just the British invasion, but from around the world. And then, of course, next week, I'll be back with two more chat shows. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.